but the flower people say. Listen, it's getting louder every day.
My name is Liz Kirkus from Catskill, and you're listening to WGXC ACRA Catskill and Hudson.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in ACRA, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. This morning, Julia Jorn talks about the local hiking clubs and guides, including the Catskill 3500 Club, the Catskills Fire Tower Challenge, Upstate Adventure Guides, Hike On Guides, and the Rip Van Winkle Adventure Guides. And we'll also hear from Kate Murray, Dee Birkins, and Felicia Burdick talking about their voter registration campaign in the city of Bethlehem in Albany County. All this and more after the Public News Service headlines and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. It starts after the local news, which is next. Stay tuned.
Waves controlled on air, in air channel connection, and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
Have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Ruby's Hotel and Restaurant in Freehold, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. The local COVID-19 new case numbers are unlike any the Hudson Valley has seen before. In Greene County, officials reported 192 new cases on January 4th and 208 more on January 5th. That brings the Greene County total to 1,135 current cases. Columbia County reported two more deaths on January 4th and 107 new cases. On January 5th, Columbia County announced 106 more cases for a total of 570. Greene County has more cases per capita and a worse vaccination rate, 65.4%, than Columbia County, where 74% of residents have gotten at least one dose. Ulster and Dutchess counties also reported a steep increase of new cases of COVID-19 on January 5th. Ulster County reported 3,540 cases, up 173 cases from the day before. In Dutchess County, there were three more deaths from coronavirus announced January 5th. And the number of cases in Dutchess County rose by 658 to 6,370, a new all-time high and more than twice the January 2021 peak of 2,576. Dutchess County also now has 140 people hospitalized with the disease, up from 123 people reported the previous day. Albany City Schools announced January 5th that learning would go remote through MLK Day. With 1,000 teachers and staff at schools in the capital region reported sick, more school closures are on the horizon. Also, the number of Albany County residents hospitalized by COVID-19 has more than doubled in less than 2 weeks. Albany County also reported January 5th that a woman in her 80s died of COVID-19. Albany County reported 429 new cases on January 4th and 733 on January 5th. But that is better than the record number of 1,003 new cases Albany County reported on December 31st.
Chris McKenna from the Times-Herald-Record reports about where charges stand against 13 Capitol riot suspects from Hudson Valley. Authorities know at least 13 people from the Hudson Valley who were part of a violent attempt to overthrow the U.S. government on January 6, 2021. They include a retired cop-turned-landscaper from Goshen, a Newburgh tattoo artist, and a Metro North rail yard worker. Only one of the 13 is currently behind bars, while two have pleaded guilty and have yet to be sentenced. Three plan to stand trial, and eight other defendants are awaiting plea deals or trial. Edward Lang, a 26-year-old from Newburgh, was arrested after boasting about his participation on social media. He can be seen in photos swinging an aluminum baseball bat at police, and charges against him include assaulting an officer with a dangerous weapon and inflicting bodily injury. He is in a Washington, D.C. jail in September, spoke by phone from jail last week with the ultra-conservative Newsmax TV channel, claiming he acted in, and I quote, self-defense, end quote, against police officers who were, and I quote, brutalizing protesters who were unarmed, just loving American citizens who were there to use their First Amendment, end quote. Anyone who has seen video knows police officers were defending the U.S. Capitol and democracy as the mob successfully delayed the electoral count that day. Court papers opposing his release last month said Lang, and I quote, has not articulated how he was defending others from immediate danger by shoving a door into the head of a vulnerable sergeant or repeatedly kicking a detective after he fell to the ground or using a baseball bat to beat officers standing sentry, end quote. Others arrested include Robert Minuta, who is the owner of a tattoo shop on Broadway in Newburgh, and is a member of the right-wing Oath Keepers militia. He unwittingly discussed his involvement to an off-duty FBI agent who came to his shop for a tattoo. Dutchess County resident William Vogel, 27, faces four charges, two misdemeanors and two lower-level offenses, is due back in court on March 4th. The story details the case status of each of the 13 Hudson Valley men charged in the riot. And you can read more in the Times-Herald-Record.
Brenda J. Lyons reports for the Times Union that Governor Kathy Hochul delivered her first State of the State address January 5th, pledging to restore the public's trust in government through term limits and ethics reforms by implementing a sweeping agenda to combat gun violence, improve the healthcare industry, expand educational opportunities, take further steps on the climate crisis, and prop up the agricultural industry. Quote, what I am proposing is a whole new era for New York, unquote, Hochul said in the Assembly Chamber. Quote, the days of governors disregarding the rightful role of this legislature are over. The days of the governor of New York and mayor of New York City wasting time on petty rivalries are over. The days of New Yorkers questioning whether their government is actually working for them are over, unquote. The speech was delivered in the Assembly Chamber before a small audience. Assembly Speaker Carl E. Heastie announced shortly before the speech that he would not attend due to a positive COVID-19 test. The governor called for the passage of the Clean Slate Act, which would seal certain felony records after a specific amount of years. She promised to jumpstart the state's ailing economy and transform New York into the most, quote, business-friendly and worker-friendly, unquote, state in the nation. Major focus is on tracing and removing illicit guns from streets, while also spending more money towards stemming gun violence with a community-based response. Hochul is also looking to increase support systems for people experiencing homelessness, addiction, and mental health challenges, and to support the increase of affordable housing. Hochul's speech also addressed sustainability by pledging to electrify 50,000 homes by replacing gas, oil, and propane-powered appliances with electric. She also pledged to grow the healthcare workforce by 20% over the next 5 years, sketched out plans to increase enrollment by one-third at state universities, and called for tax cuts for the middle class. She pledged to fund small businesses and restaurants, provide up to $500 million investment in offshore wind, which could create 2,000, quote, good-paying green jobs, unquote, and to offer certain tax credits for farmers and more. The speech was embraced by Democratic lawmakers, including Assemblymember Richard Gottfried, the longest-serving member in the legislature who is set to retire at the end of his term. Out of the 52 state addresses he has attended, Gottfried said this was, quote, the best of them all, unquote. Read more in the Times Union.
Brennan J. Lyons reports for the Times Union that Brittany Commisso, who accused Andrew Cuomo of groping her at the executive mansion while he was governor, denounced the January 4th decision by Albany County District Attorney David Soares's office not to prosecute Cuomo. Commisso said in a statement to the Times Union, and I quote, "My disappointing experience of re-victimization with the failure to prosecute a serial sexual abuser, no matter what degree the crime committed, yet again sadly highlights the reason victims are afraid to come forward, especially against people in power. When will our voices uniformly be accepted? Where do we go to have our rights vindicated? Unfortunately, this is just another example of where our criminal justice system needs to do better. To every victim out there silently suffering from sexual harassment at the hands of a powerful government official, wondering what will happen if you tell the truth, please don't let what has happened to me deter you from speaking up." End quote. Soares said on January 4th that, and I quote, "While we found the complainant in this case cooperative and credible, after review of all the available evidence we have, concluded that we cannot meet our burden at trial," end quote. Commisso said she met with representatives of the district attorney's office for several hours on January 3rd, and she said they questioned whether jurors might interpret her actions during the alleged encounter as acquiescing to Cuomo's advances. She said she volunteered to take a polygraph lie detector examination. She claims the prosecutors were concerned about Commisso's statement that she had nervously told Cuomo, and I quote, "You're going to get us in trouble," end quote, when she said he hugged her in a sexually aggressive manner. Cuomo, she says, then slammed the door to his office and said, and I quote, "I don't care," end quote. Cuomo then allegedly put his hand up her blouse and cupped her breasts without her permission. The 64-year-old Cuomo denies the allegations. And you can read more about this story in the Times Union.
Noah Eckstein is reporting for Columbia Green Media that the Hudson Athens Lighthouse Preservation Society has been awarded a $500,000 grant from the State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation to aid in the restoration of the aging landmark. The grant will support refurbishing the roof and gutters of the 147-year-old Hudson Athens Lighthouse in an effort to stop water intrusion and erosion. The funds will help complete the first of a four-phase restoration project, estimated to cost between $3 million and $4 million. Built in 1874, the lighthouse stands in the Hudson River between Hudson and Athens in the area of the river known as the Middle Ground Flats. Nearly 150 years of currents, weather dredging, and wakes from large ships have taken a toll on the historic structure and the nearly 200-year-old underwater wood pilings that support it. Quote, "This grant does not give us our 100-year solution, but it's a start," unquote, Society Vice President Bob Green said. State Parks funds will cover the cost of a new staircase from the dock to the deck of the lighthouse, a new marine toilet, and cistern repairs. The Society now must raise funds to repair the underwater wood pilings, a much more costly project. Quote, "The OPRHP grant makes it easier for HALPS to fundraise from federal and state money, and once that happens, it's easier to get private donations to finish the project, unquote, said Green. An engineering assessment and concluded that without the necessary repairs, the Hudson Athens Lighthouse will not survive. Van Calhoun, chair of the Hudson Athens Lighthouse Restoration Committee, estimates the entire project will be finished by the end of 2024. A green light on top of the lighthouse is monitored by the U.S. Coast Guard and powered by solar panels. It blinks every 8 seconds as a way to alert passing ships to shallow waters. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com.
Andrea Mako reports in Porcupine Soup that outgoing town supervisor John Coyne and councilperson Stephen Kralovich and Tim Powers broke the law December 29th and voted to appoint new planning board members before the new year. Cairo Town Attorney Tal Raplia, who was not at the December 29th meeting, said, and I quote, "In New York, a seat cannot be filled unless there is a vacancy. So any appointments made before the end of the sitting person's term can't stand, even if it was the same person and the same position," end quote. Council members Mary Jo Cords and Jason Watts, who was on the town board at the time of the vote and is now town supervisor, both refused to vote on the appointments at the December 29th meeting. Watt said, and I quote, "I just want to be on the record that you are setting the precedent for future boards to think it's okay and just go ahead and appoint people just before the first of the year and not letting the new board go on with it," end quote. The terms of the planning board chair Joseph Hasenkopf and one-year alternate member Christopher Keff were set to expire December 31st, but had not expired yet. That's when Coyne, Kralovich, and Powers took the illegal action of reappointing them. Now the new town board, without Coyne, will vote on appointments to the planning board January 12th. The story does not say whether any charges or actions will be taken against Coyne, Kralovich, and Powers for their illegal vote. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup.
Mid-Hudson News is reporting nearly 1 year after protesters stormed the U.S. Capitol and disrupted the certification of the 2020 presidential election, many Americans support the investigation into the incident, according to an NPR PBS NewsHour Marist poll. More than 6 in 10 Americans, or 62%, think the investigation is appropriate and do not view it as an unwarranted campaign aimed at Donald Trump and his supporters, while 35% do not agree with the inquiry. 49% considered the events of January 6th to be an insurrection and a threat to U.S. democracy. 25% believe it was political protest protected under the First Amendment, while 19% say the incident was unfortunate but does not have implications for the future. Quote, "Both Democrats and Republicans believe that U.S. democracy is under threat," unquote, said the director of the Marist College Institute for Public Opinion in Poughkeepsie. Quote, "But they overwhelmingly disagree over the meaning of the events of January 6th and the motivation behind the investigation into the events of that day," unquote. Read more about the story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Mike Guisdala reports in the Troy Record, Representative Paul Tonko's memories of an armed attempt to overthrow the U.S. government 1 year later. On January 6th last year, an armed mob directed there by former President Donald Trump delayed the counting of electoral votes. The U.S. Capitol was ransacked for the first time since the War of 1812. A police officer was beaten, a rioter was shot, and three others died during the rampage. Tonko described what he saw. He said, and I quote, "One of my colleagues was with my staffer, Kate. She had just had knee surgery. Another colleague was flat out on the floor, hyperventilating. People were really stressed as they were trying to figure out how quickly can we get to that exit door. Then realizing that you had to go down several sets of stairs to make your way to the tunnel that connects the Rayburn office building to the House chamber to the Capitol building. It was all of that happening with great intensity and a lack of direction, basically, because it was an unusual set of circumstances," end quote. In the long interview, the congressperson who represents Albany County does not mention holding the coup plotters or rioters accountable. Tonko said, and I quote, "As we approach the first anniversary of the attack on the Capitol, it is important for us to believe to come forward in a united way that enables us to put first the country.
to make certain that we all work together toward a common goal, to make certain that our democracy, our republic that was challenged in a very powerful and forceful way that produced death and destruction and the attempt to undo a process, all of those dynamics need to be addressed, and I think that as we go forward, I would hope that we could do this out of love of country, respect for country, and a sense to make us an even stronger voice for freedom and opportunity. End quote. Read more about this story in the Troy Record. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 37 degrees. Snow is likely mainly after 1 a.m. on Thursday night. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 23 degrees. And on Friday, snow is likely before 1 p.m., then a slight chance of snow showers after 1 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 31 degrees. And Friday night, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 16 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
You have tuned into all sort of creative community voices on the radio at 90.7 on Thursday, January 6th, including at 10 a.m. We hear the Transformational Listening Show, tuning in tracks from France, Senegal, India, South Africa, Scandinavia, Rwanda, and Germany. Then at noon, Alan Skerritt beams in from Columbia County with the Crossroads and Rhythm Show, playing R&B, blues, rock, and more. At 3 p.m., it's time to turn on the news, and the coup continues on the first anniversary of the attempt to overthrow the government of the United States, with help from The Clash, Dolly Parton, Tyron Lannister, Miracle Max, and especially Peter Navarro. At 7 p.m., the Catskill Maker Syndicate, including Joe DeMonso behind the local Better Weather on the radio at WGXC. They air their monthly Singularity program live from their Catskill Makers space on West Bridge Street. At 9 p.m., Andrew O'Connor beams in from Parkdale Pirate Radio in Toronto with the Disco 3000 show. And at 10 p.m., it's time for the Magic Stranger to beam in from Columbia County on the radio at 90.7 FM WGXC.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
This Thursday, January 6th, is the one-year anniversary of an attempted coup in this country where a group of people tried to overthrow the government, throw out the election of Joe Biden, even though there was no voter fraud and no court has found any voter fraud, and several policemen were killed, and few of the rioters have been held accountable so far. People across the country are rallying to observe this day across the country, including rallies in Albany and Williamstown, Massachusetts, locally. Go to January6thUnityDay.org for more information about these efforts around the country on Thursday, January 6th.
Got questions about technology, cybersecurity? Whether it's a remote car starter or jellyfish, try your luck at stumping our panel on the Thingularity radio program. Just send your questions to CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com. That is CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com. And one of our many interns will be electroshocked into inducing an answer for your listening pleasure. Listen to the Thingularity Radio program every first Thursday of each month at 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM or anytime at WGXC.org.
Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 37 degrees. Snow is likely mainly after 1 a.m. on Thursday night. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 23 degrees. And on Friday, snow is likely before 1 p.m., then a slight chance of snow showers after 1 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 31 degrees. And Friday night, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 16 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC. 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Teo Campo Real of Athens, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Listen to music and voices. Listen to art and discussion. Listen to work and play. Listen to eat and drink. Listen to up and down. Listen to noise and fun. Listen to purple and green. Listen to pink and blue. Listen to a heart rainbow. Listen to wizards and witches. Listen to jazz play. Listen to dogs and mice. Listen to Rome and Italy. Listen to Mars and Venus. Listen to the planet. Listen to the planet. Listen to ladies and dumplings. Listen to books. Listen to teeth and trunks. Listen to bath time and nap time. Listen to Kaizen and Violet. Listen to stars and stripes. Listen to Texas and listen to bells and waterfalls. Listen to churches and steeple. Dance and sing and listen and bells. Listen to making things, stripes and zigzags. Listen to clouds and leaves, bike riding and zigzagging. No, listen to bike riding and curving. Listen to the radio going on and on. Listen to the radio going on and on. Listen to the radio WGXC.
Starts to fade. Some say the internals are ready games.
colleagues encouraged intolerance and infiltrated. As the helicopters circle overhead with their heat detecting infrared cameras.
Hudson Valley Word of Mouth. I'm your host, Julia Jorn, and I live and work in Round Top in beautiful Greene County. Come along with me as I meander through the Hudson Valley, the Northern Catskills, the Capital Region, and beyond to interview the people behind the special spots and hidden gems that make our area of New York State and our collective community both distinct and diverse. You'll likely discover that you don't have to travel too far to pay them a visit. They may already be in your own backyard or just around the corner. And I'll bet their place might turn out to be that one certain destination you keep meaning to check out. So I'm here to remind you, put it on your list. Together we'll meet shop owners and small business owners, curators, designers, and artists, chefs, farmers, and culinary experts, and other creative entrepreneurs. We'll hear their own personal stories, learn about their unique offerings, and hit them up for their own local recommendations. Thanks for listening. Today I'm at home in Round Top thinking about the year ahead, but mostly thinking about what I'm looking forward to doing this winter season as we enter another round of COVID restrictions. And to that I say, get outside. Just get outside. Get some fresh air and experience the epic beauty of the Catskill Mountains. There's so many hikes to take, from the easy to the challenging. Where to begin? I like to keep it simple. One of my favorite walks in the woods is right here in my own backyard at Glen Falls House in Round Top. You don't have to be a guest of the resort to enjoy its grounds, which span well over 40 acres. On their property is access to three waterfalls, the namesake Glen Falls, the Bridal Veil, and Icebox Falls, which is tucked into a dense wooded area. I recently took a walk here with a friend who told me about something he learned while he was in Japan. In Japan, they practice something called forest bathing, or Shinrin Yoku. Shinrin in Japanese means forest, and Yoku means bath. So Shinrin Yoku means bathing in the forest atmosphere, or taking in the forest through our senses. We all know how good being in nature can make us feel. We've known it for centuries. The sounds of the forest, the scent of the trees, the sunlight playing through the leaves, the fresh, clean air. These things give us a sense of comfort. They ease our stress and worry, help us to relax and think more clearly. Being in nature can restore our mood, give us back our energy and vitality, refresh and rejuvenate us. But what exactly is this feeling that's so hard to put into words? This isn't exercise. It's not even hiking or jogging.
It's simply being in nature, connecting with it through our senses of sight, hearing, taste, smell, and touch. Shinrin Yoku is like a bridge. By opening our senses, it bridges the gap between us and the natural world. Even a small amount of time in nature can have an impact on our health. A 1 or 2 hour forest bath will help you to unplug from technology and slow down. It will bring you into the present moment and de-stress and relax you. So how does one go about forest bathing? First, find a safe and familiar spot, like I did at Glen Falls House. Make sure you have left your phone and camera behind. You're going to be walking aimlessly and slowly. You don't need any devices. Let your body be your guide. Listen to where it wants to take you. Follow your nose. Take your time. It doesn't matter if you don't get anywhere. You're not going anywhere. You're savoring the sounds, the smells, the sights of nature, and letting the forest in. The key to unlocking the power of the forest is in the five senses. Let nature enter through your ears, eyes, nose, mouth, hands, and feet. Listen to the birds singing and the breeze rustling in the leaves of the trees. Look at the different greens of the trees and the sunlight filtering through the branches. Smell the fragrance of the forest and breathe in the natural aromatherapy. Taste the freshness of the air as you take deep breaths. Place your hands on the trunk of a tree. Dip your fingers or toes into a cold stream. Lie on the ground. Drink in the flavor of the forest and release your sense of calm. This is your sixth sense. It's a state of mind. Now you've connected with nature. Next up. For those who like a challenge and are a bit more goal-oriented and like to check things off your list, check out the Catskill 3500 Club. I was introduced to the Catskill 3500 Club by a friend who's a fairly serious hiker. The Catskill 3500 Club was founded in 1962, and it fosters an interest in hiking, specifically, obviously, in the Catskills. Membership is open to everyone who's climbed, on foot, each of the 33 Catskill peaks above 3,500 feet in elevation. If you go to their website, you'll find a schedule with guided hikes. You'll also find a list of the peaks, showing photographs of each peak, its elevation, a little history about each one, and what to expect on its trails. And if getting into that Catskill 3,500 Club sounds like fun, or if you're one of those people who like bragging rights, then these are my three recommendations for local guides who can help you. First, upstate adventure guides. Next, hike on guides. And lastly, Rip Van Winkle adventure guides. These outfits also offer a range of options to get you moving, exploring, and immersed in the mountains. These incredibly knowledgeable, licensed guides know everything about being outdoors, from fishing to camping to snowshoeing, canoeing, kayaking, and more. They'll help you organize your outing and cover everything from family-friendly day hikes to long-distance multi-day backpacking excursions. They have programs for all ages, all skills, and can custom tailor any experience for you, whether it's you, by yourself, or a group. They also have classes and courses in things like how not to get lost. That would be a class I would need to take. How to read a map, how to use a compass for navigating, and how to smartly and safely plan a route. They'll teach you basic outdoor skills from how to efficiently pack your backpack, winter hiking safety, water safety, how to build a campfire, and even how to properly bushwhack through your journey if you're going off the beaten path. Have you heard of the Catskills Fire Tower Challenge? Historically, more than 100 towers, some built nearly a century ago, were used for early detection of forest fires throughout New York State because of their extensive views of the surrounding countryside. Today, 6 towers reside in Catskill Park and are maintained with assistance from a dedicated group of volunteers. Each are located on mountain summits and make for some of the best hiking destinations in the Catskills. Once you reach the summit, then climb the stairs of the towers themselves, you'll discover unparalleled 360-degree views of the surrounding park and mountains. So if you're a fairly experienced hiker, these should be in your reach. But if you want assistance, the local guides I mentioned can also help you climb all 6 of the Catskill Park towers: Balsam Lake Mountain, Hunter Mountain, Overlook Mountain, Red Hill, Upper Esopus, and Tremper Mountain. So whether you want to take a sweet little walk in the woods like I do, or if you hire an expert to help you get started, or someone just to keep you going, or if you're feeling more ambitious and want to join a hiking club, just remember, leave no trace. Whatever you bring in, make sure to bring out. See you on the hiking trail.
Thanks for tuning in to Hudson Valley Word of Mouth. If you're interested in checking out an ongoing list of local recommendations, or if you have recommendations of your own to share, go to my Instagram at Roundtop Recommends, or visit the Wave Farm website at wavefarm.org for the Hudson Valley Word of Mouth segment archives and how to reach me. Talk to you next time.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Hi, this is Bria Barthel for Hudson Mohawk Magazine, and today I have the honor of talking with three women, the Letter Ladies in Bethlehem, New York, who have started a very active Get Out the Vote campaign. So Letter Ladies KDF, I'll let you introduce yourselves so people know which name goes with which person.
Hi, I'm Kate Murray, and I am a Letter Lady and part of We Get Out the Vote.
My name is Dee Perkins, and I am also one of the Letter Ladies and working with the goal of getting out the vote.
And I'm the third partner, Felicia Bordick, also working to get people registered and out to vote.
Can you tell us something about how your organization started and what the activities are that you do?
Each of us are members of different activist organizations in the Capital Region, and I'm a member of Bethlehem Indivisible, and we meet in Del Mar. And one of our members came to us with an idea from Swing Left and Vote Forward, organizations that came together about writing letters around the country with registration forms, lots of them, to register people to vote and also encourage them to vote. We also, in starting to do that, we did some postcards and different things with that. Felicia began, and she'll tell you about that, another activist organization called Bethlehem Morning Voice Huddle, right after someone got into office that I shall not name. And so she came and heard about what we were doing. We all taught each other together and held hands and went out together and had different in-person as well as virtual letter writing and postcard events. We continue to look for new things. I can read you many different organizations from the world that we get our postcards, et cetera, from. But we look for things that we feel are going to be most effective and simplest, and also what our volunteers like to do.
And are you mostly looking just to get out the vote? So it's although you're targeted at Democrats and progressives, you're not saying who they should vote for? Or do you take a stand in different elections?
Yeah, we are purely get out the vote. We know that that more Democrats are registered, and many people of both parties stay home. And so we are encouraging people to register. There are some techniques that maybe somebody might, who's more progressive, would open our mail. But we've done both. Our fundraising has to be bipartisan, so through Indivisible. So when we use those funds for stamps, we are always involved in bipartisan, but the volunteers get to use their time and money. And sometimes it is for something that is specifically only targeted to Democrats, or sometimes specifically targeted to a certain person getting in or not getting into office.
And how do you choose which elections you're going to, or which targets you're going to have for your letters and card writing campaigns?
We research from these different organizations that we've gotten campaigns from what they're doing. And mostly we want to watch what they're doing for swing states how we've pushed that to be places where it's going to make a difference. There's been many elections that have been decided on just one vote or just a few thousand votes or whatever. So we, the groups that we get our postcards and letters and mailing lists from, are mostly in swing, what's called swing states, someplace that's really going to change the national election picture. We want people that are progressive in office, obviously.
And in full disclosure, I've participated in some of the letter campaigns and card campaigns, but I had some hesitation about mailing letters to people in other states, encouraging them to vote in their local or state elections. Can Dee or Felicia, can one of you talk about that?
Well, I'd like to say about that is that we're all Americans, and right now it feels like democracy is in peril. And this has to do with saving our republic and our form of government, our way of life. We all share that together. So it's really the bigger picture we're going for in that regard. I don't have any hesitation about reaching out to voters in other states. We still have 48 million people out there, Americans, who have not registered to vote, who are eligible to register. So we have a lot of work to do.
We all know that there are many efforts in many states to limit voter registration and to take people off the registration rolls. Does We Get Out the Vote get involved in any campaigns about protecting voters voting, or do you specifically work just on the election campaigns?
If I could just mention one campaign. We did have one campaign to send postcards to voters in New York State to encourage them to call Senator Schumer to pass for the People Act, which is now evolved into the Freedom to Vote Act. So yes, there are some postcard campaigns directly related to reaching out to voters to call their senators to pass this legislation.
And we've done some postcard campaigns to specific states, frankly, mostly in the South, where voter registration had been purged, to ask people to go and check their whether they are on the rolls or not. And now, actually, the letters we wrote this summer, just all of them said, here's the way to check on your registration status. And those were to, many different states. So it's we are adamant to protect those ways, for individuals to make sure that they can vote. So when they get to the polls.
So we've mentioned a few states, a few different campaigns, a few different issues. What is the scope of your work? What was the first campaign you were involved with, and about how many letters and cards have the group of volunteers working with you sent out?
In 2020, there was a push where we wrote letters and postcards throughout the year. We saved them. Felicia, if I remember correctly, didn't you have boxes and boxes and boxes of letters and postcards on your bed in the spare room? But it ended up that in, I believe it was October 23rd, we had the big send, which was wonderful. They did a car caravan with signs all over, and they drove through the entire city. And we had to make arrangements ahead of time with the post office, the main sorting facility up on Corner Road. But we delivered to them, and we did like an assembly line where we just kept like passing the letters up to the dock. And that day we sent 30,000 letters from the Capital District volunteers that we had written throughout the year, and 15,000 postcards. And it ended up that in total, we spent just under $22,000 in postage. So we gave the post office a lot of business that day.
So 45,000 different mailings for $15,000, you said?
No, just under $22,000.
$22,000, and that was all volunteer donations.
We did get some money. Yeah, we did get some grant money. through Indivisible, we were able to apply for a GROW grant, and we did get postage that way.
We just have a few seconds left, and I know that you've got an upcoming event that you want to mention. And also, how can people get in touch with you if they're interested in joining in the effort?
So great. Yeah, we want to tell you about the big send for 2022. And we are going to send a lot of letters. We're going to write them and hold them. But we're going to have an event, hopefully in person, at the Bethlehem Library in the afternoon. But if not, virtually. Our email is all spelled out. wegetoutthevote@gmail.com.
So thank you all. This is Bria Barthel for Hudson Mohawk Magazine, talking with the letter ladies, Kate Murray, Dee Berkins, and Felicia Bordick about their work coordinating hundreds of volunteers and sending out thousands and thousands of letters and cards to encourage people to respect democracy and vote.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
American Heavy. On a hot and heavy night in the summer, you're here with Jack French, and the number here to call is 1-800-BAD-JACK. And here we get to talk about all the things you can't talk about with anybody else. Oh, man, is it as hot and sticky where you are as it is in here with me. Oh, yeah, I just took my own temperature. No, I'm not going to tell you where I stuck the thermometer. Well, it reads 102.5 FM, and that's just my body heat. Whoo, look at that. You must be wired up good tonight. The phone banks look like the runway lights at LAX, and I barely started to breathe, but hang on tonight. Tonight we got a very big fish to fry. I'm in a Moby Dick kind of mood. And that means I fully intend to swing my primo harpoon, so crank up your speed dialers and get ready to chase a little tail that is the biggest whale of them all, because our theme tonight is fun things we like to talk about with God. You know, ladies and gentlemen, a recent scientific study reports that 87% of all Americans carry on a daily personal conversation with God. 87% daily with God. God, I don't have a daily conversation with my wife, Nancy. Hi, Nancy, how you doing tonight? Now, that's a duty load of people. Having a duty load of heavy conversations with the big one, and I want, do you hear me? I want, and you know I always get what I want. What I want is to know, what are you talking about? Okay, first caller, give me your first name and hometown, and you're on the air.
My name is Sally Sue, and I'm from Sioux City, Iowa.
Sally Sue from Sioux City? That's sweet. Only in America. City Sue from Sally City, do you not or do not have a daily chit-chat with God?
Well, of course I do. We do it all day long.
Oh, baby, and what do you two talk about there, Sally Sue?
Whatever is going on. Like, if I'm getting dressed, I might say, now what about this? Does this go? You know, whatever.
Sally Sue, that's good. That is too good. So, do you mind if we get a little upfront and personal here?
Well, heck, Jack, we're already talking about him. You know, like God.
Yeah, well, heck, Sally Sue, since you just told me that you have God as a sort of in-house wardrobe consultant, I gotta ask you. Sally Sue, what are you wearing? Right now. Sally Sue, give it to me. It's out here, Sally Sue, but it's not hot enough, so Sally Sue, won't you please tell me, what did God tell you to wear today? In the beginning was the...
Counselor Avocado, I presume your client has been prepared?
Yes, Your Honor, we're ready to roll.
Very well, then. Mr. French, what is your profession?
Entertainer.
Once again, please.
Entertainer. I'm an entertainer.
An entertainer. Mm. I see. And what exactly does that mean to you, Mr. French?
Laugh. I make people laugh.
Make people laugh? Hmm. And is it a happy laugh?
Happy laugh? Happy laugh?
When you make people laugh, Mr. French, is it a laughter that lightens the heart?
American. Heavy.
Heavy?
Yeah.
So the laughter is unhappy.
Your Honor, might I tender an objection?
Keep still, Counselor. If you are unable to feed your client his lines, I have no choice but to do so myself. Mr. French, what do you make people laugh about when you make people laugh?
Soup. All crazy soup.
Do you mean to say giving voice to the absurd?
Giving head to the herd.
I beg your pardon?
I believe my client is referencing the role of the imagination in the dissemination of mass media.
Thank you, Counselor, but I'm neither so old nor so dim as you apparently think.
No, Your Honor.
Not that dim.
Thank you, Mr. French.
That was American Heavy from Gregory Whitehead. Radio art on the radio.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Freedom! Freedom! Now effectively a riot.
Today marks the anniversary of the January 6th attack at the U.S. Capitol when supporters of former President Trump stormed the building in an attempt to stop the certification of the 2020 presidential election. More than 140 police officers were injured, and rioters caused an estimated $1.5 million in damages. On the Senate floor Wednesday, Maryland Democrat Ben Cardin called it one of the nation's darkest days.
January the 6th, like December the 7th and September the 11th, is a date which will live in infamy.
More than